Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
And assalamu alaikum, dear believers. Welcome, welcome. It's Tuesday, and we are here every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On the show, it's all about courtship and marriage. I am your host, Sister Munira Habil, and we thank you for being here with us this evening. So we'll go ahead and get started, and we'll open up our show, as always, with Al-Fatiha, first in Arabic, and then in the English translation. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Malik Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ittino, Siroto Mustakin, Siroto Ladina Ananta Alehim, Ghairil Makdubi Alehim, Walabdalin. Amin. And in English, with the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, not of those whose portion is wrath, nor of those who go astray. Amen. So we thank Allah for blessing us to be here another week and to come on the airwaves and talk about this process of courtship and marriage. And if you have been with us for the past, 8 weeks or so, we have been presenting from the book by Dr. P. Anissa Nadir, Before the Nikah. And we have had our co-host with us during this time, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia, and she has been a valuable participant during this process. And we're going to open up the mic and extend to her the greetings of peace of assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. How are you and your audience, the radio audience this evening?
Alhamdulillah. We thank you for being here with us this evening, and we're always happy to see that hand go up and know that you're there. So praises due to Allah. So what we'll do, we'll go ahead and recap last week's show. We did the final actual chapter in the book last week, chapter 11, and we dealt with the process of marrying cross-culturally. So chapter 11 was cross-cultural marriage and in-laws. And those of us who have been paying attention, we know that this is something that has taken place more frequently. As we look around in our environment, we have cross-cultural marriage. A lot of it is because we're in a melting pot, of course, and people are more comfortable with other cultures, more comfortable with other cultures than they have been historically. And that's maybe from going to school, work environments. Diversity has been pushed for years now in the workplace. So we have diverse work environments, diverse school environments, depending on where you live, diverse neighborhoods. Hospitals are diverse as they look to recruit nurses from around the world due to nursing shortages. Traveling for the military, you're exposed to diverse cultures. So diversity is everywhere. And that in itself is having an impact on marriages. And diversity among African Americans is being promoted in the media. We talked about that last week. We actually went off on a tangent last week dealing with this topic because of a concern that I have for our race as African Americans. So, but that's another show, inshallah. We can do another show about that and just look at that aspect of it, and because I could definitely be very wrong in my view of this matter. And so we want to give that the time it deserves and look at that topic in a more in-depth way. But tonight I want to wrap up the book and pay the proper respects to the author for her chapter 11, where she tries to prepare the reader for what may come when dealing with a cross-cultural marriage. So in all aspects of this process for nikah, you know, being prepared for nikah, so you can a strong marriage can be built and a wise choice can be made. It's very important to look at the topics that she has in chapter 11 so that they can be reviewed, so you can be aware of some possible issues and be prepared for it. You want to have a roadmap when navigating this particular aspect of courtship, so you'll know whether or not you're up to this challenge of dealing with this type of diversity and cross-cultural family building based on how you have been raised, your parents' views, her parents' views, communication styles, and so forth and so on. So last week, as a recap, that chapter 11 states that clarity regarding individual and family views on cross-cultural marriage and interfaith marriage before you marry is a key before the nikah principle. And that is the key. You want to look at these things before you marry so that you won't marry and then say, well, if I had known that these were your views, or if I had known your parents thought this way or that way, I might have made a different decision for the wedding. But no need to take that route, because when you have the information that you need to look at these things in advance, it is imperative that you take the opportunity to look at possible issues that can come up in advance of getting married, because, you know, you don't want to waste your time or your spouse's time, and you don't want to cause an injury or an emotional scar unnecessarily when it can be avoided. You know, so some of the points that are made in this chapter is that, yes, Allah has created us diverse and diverse tracks. The whole universe is diverse, from the plant life to the animal life. Human beings are diverse. Even the agriculture, there's diversity everywhere, so humanity is diverse, and we are also one humanity. So Allah made us different, and we respect that, and we honor that, and we find the beauty in that diversity. Languages, hair textures, our likes, dislikes, diversity in all of it. Okay, so we are to get to know each other and to get to know the good in each other through this diversity, and we learn from each other as well. Through this diversity. So, but when we get married, when we're courting and we get married, some things can cause an issue as far as communication, being able to communicate well, being able to understand each other's cultural cues, food, views on religion, separating what is a cultural practice of al-Islam to what is based in Quran, or Quranic knowledge, Quranic etiquette. All these things can create differences that can cause problems, that can cause issues, especially the cultural aspects of child rearing, customs. Some cultures, when a child turns reaches puberty, they're turned over to the father. The mother is not, her charge of that child is not as it was prior to puberty, okay? Things about cultural things that happen within families, you should know about those things prior to getting married. You should know what those expectations are. How a conflict solved? Is there shura? What type of weight does the voice of the woman carry in the family? Or what are the expectations when it comes to the female in the family and how she operates and her place in the family? So all of these things should be looked at. Many families don't talk about their views on other races. And some, for that reason, some children can be surprised at their parents' reaction when they start courting someone from a different race, a different culture. They can be surprised at those reactions because it's something that they never talked about. They just assumed that their son or daughter would marry someone within their culture because that was the expectation. My daughter, Mahasan, was in junior high school, and one of her Caucasian friends invited her. They were doing a project at school, so she invited Mahasan to her house to work on the project. So on the way to the, my husband got my permission and I said yes, but on the way to her house, she said, I haven't told my mother you were coming over. So if she looks at you funny or says anything, just ignore her. She can't help it. She's a racist. Just keep walking and come with me to my room. So she warned my husband, knowing that her mother was a racist, just to ignore her. But clearly this child didn't want to be a racist and was not a racist and didn't accept her mother's views, but she's a child in her mother's house, okay? So families can be caught off guard sometimes in matters of mixed race, mixed cultures, and different religions when in the courtship process. So we should be prepared for that. Be prepared for that. And, of course, you should have a firm knowledge, first relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and knowledge of your religion so that you can separate what is Islamic from what is cultural. And be prepared for those conversations. Okay, and in that chapter she gave an example of Prince Harry and Meghan and them getting married and how after the marriage there were so many questions and concerns that came up. And how Meghan was really caught off guard, you know, by them wanting to know how dark the baby might be, okay? But why she was thrown off guard, I don't know. This is a family who has not really had interracial marriages. Not since Queen Victoria, who was of African descent, okay, and that's not publicized much. So it has happened hundreds of years ago, but in recent history has not happened. So what were the expectations going into that relationship? And now they are in a situation where they're doing the best they can to manage things as they come up. So that's what we dealt with in the presentation last week when it comes to cross-cultural marriage and the in-laws. And Bina, would you like to make any comments on the presentation last week, from last week?
Oh, well, yes. I was just looking at that recap on Prince Harry and Meghan, and I thought that just maybe Meghan might have been caught off guard because she came up in a mixed race family. Just maybe. It's a possibility. Because when you look at her past, look at what she's done in acting and in her position that she was on the show, it never was really a thing about her being an African American. I mean, it was like this lifestyle, this world that she was living in. I think maybe she got a real taste of reality as far as it was concerned. She might have been thinking a certain way or just looked at her whole lifestyle a particular way, but she really got a good taste of it when she met with the family, with Prince Harry's family. People probably have been nice to her in the past. So I can see how she could have been slightly caught off guard with it because of her upbringing and being around mixed races as well. So that part, I mean, I couldn't just say, oh, she should have known how it would be. And the family, I don't think, was being very honest with her initially about their feelings. And that happens quite a bit. People are not always honest. They might just say things just to kind of go along. Maybe things are not going to really happen or go to the full extent, but then they show their true selves when it does go to its full extent. I mean, because they can't help it. They can't help what's inside them. It has to come out.
It's going to come out, yes.
It's going to come. It's going to come out, and it came out. But, you know, that's something that we all have to deal with, because Allah did not say that we had to have choose a person in our own race. You know,
right.
Allah tells us that He made us different, and He could have made us all the same, but He didn't. So that's just a challenge for all of us, you know, to work that out. And to each his own. They say that love has no color, or love is colorblind. It has a lot to do with, you know, who you associate with, who you're around. You know, that the way that we get to know people, that our prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, says that we get to know people is by working with them, eating with them, traveling with them. And I mean, and this world nowadays, people are doing that all the time. You never know who you're going to work with. You can apply for a particular job, but you don't know who you're going to be working with. And you just find yourself in situations that you don't have any control of the other people who are there. So, you know, and in associating with people like that, you can easily end up in being in friendly situations that turn into more than that. And so when it gets to that point where you really have your feelings involved, it's kind of hard to break loose from that because of a person's, you know, culture or background, if they find each other, you know, compatible. So and you made a statement about it too, that you don't even see those types of things. I don't know, maybe you did or maybe you didn't. We see in commercials now, they don't even show African-American women and men together. They show all mixed races, which is suggesting that, you know, that the world is changing. It could show it in one aspect that the world is changing, or another aspect that this is the way we want the world to change. I mean, the media is, they play it the way they want, and people, it'll register in people the way it registers. It's not going to register the same to everyone. So it could be a good thing and it could be a bad thing. But, you know, however it turns out, inshallah, we try to make the best out of the way it turns out. But I especially like last week the point that Imam Kareem Hamid made about us having different cultures in just in our own race by being from different parts of the country, you know, by some being coming together from the north and or people from different parts of the country coming together and having a whole different culture within the culture of African Americans. So it's just, there's so much mixed culture or whatever that we really have to learn how to get along with each other's cultures. And I mean, to be able to get along, because I don't think there's any more, you know, dealing with your neighbor, because neighbors move all the time. You know?
Yes.
We just got finished with a move. I mean, we didn't stay any place. We didn't stay, we haven't stayed in one place for 10 years. So that's, I could see people moving all around and never really getting to know their neighbor. So we, that whole era of getting to know or growing up with somebody and actually marrying that person might be over with. So
yeah.
We have to look at other places. We have to look at other places for love. So that opens up the door to multicultural.
The possibilities. Yeah.
Yeah, marriage.
Yes. And as you're talking, I'm thinking that the knowledge relationship with our Lord and Creator is at the foundation, and building on that knowledge of yourself and your religion. And very good communication skills are a must to navigate this very diverse world that we are in now, and knowledge of other cultures also in preparation for this diverse world that we are living in. Especially for our young people. So that is food for thought as well. So this is what we talked about last week. And when we come back, we're going to do the take action portion of this chapter, going to be on page 120 of the book. These are some of the things that one should look out for and examine within ourselves to see just what are our views on this, and what is the level of preparation we have to enter into a cross-cultural or someone from a different religion. And that's kind of included in the topic. But how prepared are we? So knowing oneself and examining oneself first, and then your family, starting from within and moving out, is very necessary for those who are considering taking this step. So we're going to get to that as soon as we come back. We're going to take a pause for the cause and get our PSAs in, and we're going to ask you to stick and stay, and we'll be right back with you after these public service announcements. You're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage right here on AM 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. We will be right back.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class, where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims that have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month, where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
And we are back, and this Sunday will be the first Sunday. Today is the 1st of August already. Time is moving very fast. So this Sunday will be August 6th, and you can tune in and listen to this program. And we ask that you invite any new believers or someone that's just interested in learning about Al-Islam to tune in to that program for Brother Omar Shakir. So we'll play that PSA again before the evening is over, so we can make sure everyone has all the information about the start time for that program, just in case you did want to invite someone. All right, so we are back, and as stated earlier, we're going to get started on the take action portion of this chapter, chapter 11 of the book that we have been presenting from Dr. Pianisa Nadir's book, Before the Nikah. So, Bina, alhamdulillah, I'm going to turn it over to you.
okay.
As we get started right over the on the portion of the book.
Okay. Take action says, engage in an honest personal cross-cultural assessment. It asks the question, which culture do you most identify with? How do you describe yourself as regards your cultural, racial, faith, religious, and gender diversity dimensions? Which culture or racial background did your parents hope your spouse would be from? How does your family feel about other races and cultures compared to the culture of your family of origin? Do they have someone already selected for you that they prefer you marry? Why is this their choice? Do you agree? If not, why not? What kinds of phrases did you hear about other cultures or races when you were growing up? Would those phrases be considered ethnic slurs or racist today? Why is it so important to risk your relationship with your family to marry someone outside your culture or race if you know they are not supportive? Why is it so important to put your future spouse in a situation in which he or she may be valued or accepted because their background is not loved by your family? Are you marrying someone outside your culture in hopes that you will be able to mold them into being like someone from your culture? What are your real expectations?
Very, very good questions.
Mm-hmm.
Very good questions. And dealing with these questions honestly is very important. Issue that does come up is the issue of racism here in America, and how some view us, not all, how some view African Americans and as a race. Will someone from another culture understand that? Is there something within their culture that will help them understand that, okay, we go through this as well? You know, that is very important, because if either the husband or the wife, however it develops, if one comes home from a long day and they have faced this type of scenario, will the other person understand if you talk to them about it? Will they be supported or supportive or dismissive of the whole encounter? How will that be processed in the home? So these types of sensitive issues specifically are very important in a relationship, to understand cultural cues, cultural sensitivities, cultural trauma, you know, from one culture to the other, and how it will affect the other person in a relationship, in a family, you know, to know how to plan for that, how to plan for that interaction and those interactions in this type of a relationship. So I think that these questions are very, very important. And, you know, why, if a person, well, we understand, well, I'll say I understand if a person is just in an environment with someone and they're working together, or they have been in this environment and they really get to know each other and something happens and they develop this relationship and it grows and they begin courting and it develops and they get married. That's one thing. But for those who intentionally say, well, okay, I'm just going to travel, I'm just going to save up my money, and I'm going to go overseas and get me a wife, because they maybe are dissatisfied with the searches that have come up in America, or just want something different. Well, are you doing that because you want to mold someone and teach them? Is it your notion that that person would be so happy to come to the United States that they would be submissive to whatever circumstances, and to be happy to come here to be a wife? So looking at that honestly for yourself is very important too. Not that it's being knocked in any way, but just so that you or a person can have a chance at having a happy, healthy relationship and a good environment for children to grow in, these questions should be looked at internally and talked about with your marriage success team. And that's one of the things that has been promoted in this book, to have a marriage success team, a team of people with you during this process to help you make good decisions, use sound judgment, plan, have a WALI, and have support along the way as you take this path and make this journey towards NECA, from beginning through the NECA, and then support after the NECA. You want a team of people around to help with this process. So it's worthy of a very in-depth analysis and discussion to know what might happen. Are you prepared for different circumstances? And starting with these questions in this take action section is a good place to start, you know, and learning about the culture that a person comes from is an excellent place to start as well. Did anyone have any questions or comments on this portion of the book? Or has anyone had any experiences with a cross-cultural relationship where you thought that there could have been more investigation, or it didn't work out so well, or maybe you have a situation where it worked out great and you're very happy and have no regrets? Yeah. So I don't see any hands raised, Bina. So I think that, you know, unless you have something else to say on this topic, we can move on.
Well, I think totally I agree with you. I know people have had issues when it comes to family, but I think a good thing to do is get to know your, let's say your spouse-to-be. Get to know their family as much as you can, to know who they are and what you're going and what you can expect in the future. Because you're talking about bringing two families together, not really two, but four families together, depending on, or even more. I mean, we marry into families. We don't just marry an individual. We marry all those people who have influenced our spouse, all those, I mean, that comes to their friends and everything, but especially their family. It's very important to get to know their family and have let them get to know your family so that you can have an idea of what that's going to be like, because they're going to have an influence over the children. And just over those individuals, the individual spouse as well, depending on how close those relationships are. So it's a good idea to get to know who the family that you're marrying into, as well as your spouse. So it's I know we're encouraged in our religion to marry. You know, and don't do a lot of dating, and don't do a drawn out engagement or anything. But it's important to take the time. You can learn to get to know people in a short period of time if you're in their presence a lot. If you want, you know, and it's important to do that. It's important to get to know them. It's important to see how they will react to you and all those things. It is very important because it'll have an effect on your marriage.
Yes. And one thing I would like to remind us of is that you know, as a person, the level of respect you have for others. So you know what respect you may have for your intended spouse's parents, that you have been raised a certain way, you're going to, you know, be respectful to the parents and respect them as her parents, and they have a place in their life. Make sure, as much as possible, that someone from another culture respects your parents, especially if you have a parent that has been a single mother. Respects the work, the sacrifices that your parents have gone through in this country, in our cultural situation here. Make sure that they are respected and held in esteem by your future spouse and their families. The last thing I think, in my opinion, any of us need is to have added levels of disrespect or racism brought into the family life. Now, true, there can be very teachable moments, and we can get the chalkboards out and make points that need to be made, you know. But family life and being a sacred thing and a refuge, make sure that it's a place of peace, where that outside antagonism is not brought right into the family. as much as you can. So I think that is one thing that should be looked into, and we should look out for when we look at cross-cultural family dynamics, knowing that, you know, there's that level of respect should be there for our ancestors and what they have gone through, what they have struggled through, from other people that, you know, are now a part of the family. So I would make that comment, that is something very important and something that should be added to this list on when we look at taking action on this topic. Because you're going to have biracial children with your spouse. So, you know, them respecting you and your culture and your family goes a long way to them respecting and uplifting your future children as well. So I'll stop there. We had a caller in the queue, but we lost them. And so we'll keep going. And the next part of this book, we're going to go into the summary. We're heading into the summary here on page 123. And I'm going to turn that over to Sister Bina.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. In summary, when the premarital process works, you are actually employing the before the Nikah principles. The story below about Tahira and Tariq demonstrates ways they incorporated the key before the Nikah principles. 4 years ago, while in undergrad school, Tahira took the before the Nikah marriage preparation course. She recently graduated with her master's degree. She gave herself the summer after graduation to relax and chart her new course. Tahira also decided to revisit and update her self-assessment, amend her ideal match profile, identify her marriage support team, and decided she was ready to begin the path of choosing a life partner for marriage. The first night of Ramadan, Tahira ran into her friends, Muhammad and Maria, at the masjid. They had known each other for years, having taken trips together, volunteered together, and been over at each other's homes. While they were catching up, Tahira mentioned she was interested in getting married. Muhammad and Maria appreciated that Tahira entrusted them with that information, offered to help, and prayed together with Tahira that Allah would guide her through this journey. Muhammad and Maria were excited. They had been happily married for 8 years, felt the peace and happiness of their marriage, and prayed for the same for their friends. They also thought Tahira was amazing and a great catch. Also, in a city 40 minutes away was Tariq. The spring before, he had just completed the before the Nikah course. It turns out he also was friends with Muhammad and Maria, and they recommended he take the course. Muhammad and Maria had each engaged in a marriage preparation course and saw the benefits to their marriage. They had seen enough marriages go toxic, and they were really motivated to give themselves a good start. Since Tariq and Muhammad worked together, they would drive together to Juma prayer and grab lunch. But since they were fasting after Juma, they had some extra time to just talk. Muhammad shared that he and Maria just attended a marriage rejuvenation retreat in Toronto to kick off Ramadan. Tariq was glad he brought up marriage because he had been wanting to ask Muhammad to be on his marriage success team. After taking the Before the Nikah course, Tariq continued to work on getting more organized with what it would take to get married and have a successful marriage. He outlined his list of values. He completed his self-assessment and profile for his ideal compatible spouse. He assessed his finances. He had good income to take care of a family and had a good savings, so he was prepared to provide a mahar. So when Tariq asked Muhammad to be on his marriage success team, he wholeheartedly agreed. He thought highly of Tariq and that he was a great catch. That night, Muhammad and Maria chatted at home, and he told her about Tariq's request. She and Muhammad simultaneously thought of Tahira. Maria called up Tahira and told her some details about Tariq, and Muhammad called up Tariq to share information about Tahira. So when Muhammad and Maria held an iftar dinner party, they invited both Tariq and Tahira. At the iftar, all of the ladies gravitated towards each other and the guys toward each other to catch up on how Ramadan had been in the year, since they hadn't all been together since the previous Eid. At Maghrib, Maria pulled Tahira to pray next to her so she could point out who Tariq was so she could check him out through the night. Excuse me. Unbeknownst to Tahira and Maria, Muhammad had already done the same to Tariq. While they were getting the dates and fruit ready to break the fast, as the iftar wound down and the other guests left for Tarawih prayers, Muhammad and Maria introduced Tariq and Tahira. Excuse me a minute. I'm getting a drink. Okay, thank you. They chatted a bit, and based on the information from Muhammad and Maria, they each thought it would be a good idea to continue to get to know each other. Over the span of a year, they went through the vetting process checklist. They spent time getting to know each other's families and friends. They discussed the important questions they received from the tools in the Before the Nikah course to determine true compatibility, related to their shared vision around spirituality, finances, personality, communication style, intellectual mindset, and health matters. They went on a couple of road trips with Muhammad and Maria, including the beach, and went to a conference hosted by a big national organization. At some point, Tariq invited Tahira to attend a work picnic. Tahira invited Tariq to a basketball game her work team was attending. They each enlisted their MST, Marriage Success Team, yeah. Thank you, to do additional background checking. Both had grown up in the same state, but Tariq went to college a few states away. Tahira's Marriage Success Team helped her look into people who knew Tariq there. They spoke to an old roommate and his year's marriage success, MSA,
yeah.
From Student Association president. Tariq's marriage success team also inquired into Tahira's background. She had been raised and studied in the same state. Tahira and her mom gave Tariq a surprise visit at his home one Saturday. Tariq was pleasantly surprised. It was not always a special occasion when they would meet up. It got to a point where Tariq would be over for dinner with Tahira's family on a Tuesday. Tahira's mom had even called up Tariq to help her with moving her office to her home after her movers bailed. He was gracious and prompt. Tariq's mom and Tahira were in the same field. She asked Tahira if she would be open to planning a dinner that she was hosting for the president of an organization Tahira had wanted to join. Tahira was honored to get to be included in the prestigious event. They gather all of this information and then had regular check-in sessions with their marriage success team about the information. And they gave the relationship time to see what patterns emerged in their interactions and if it would be healthy and compatible. Tariq and Tahira each noticed the other being consistent with their word. They were in touch regularly, however, they were respectful of each other's boundaries and mindful of the other. Tahira needed her sleep as she was taking on a promotion at her job now that she graduated. So when she told Tariq she needed to end the calls earlier, now that she was moving into her new role, he understood and encouraged her. When Tahira had a presentation to give at her job and was nervous and had to prepare for it, Tariq helped her prepare and then fully understood her need to have a few days alone to finish and complete it. During their discussion about their health, Tariq shared that he had asthma and allergies. He has not lately, but in the past has had a serious asthma attack to the point where he had to crawl to a phone to get help. Usually it is fine unless his allergies get stirred up with being around a cat, cat hair, or the weather really kicks up dust and pollen in the air. Tahira loves cats. She did not have a cat at her parents' home, but really wanted one. Tariq and Tahira used the problem-solving model that they learned in the course and came up with a solution they were comfortable with. So they talked about whether or not they had a cat and how if they had a cat, it would be one to not affect his allergies and asthma. This discussion went well. Throughout the year, things went well. They used their resources. They made Ishtikhara prayer. They had time to talk. Their talk was meaningful. They candidly addressed the hard questions. They did a background check. Their marriage support team helped observe the interactions and assess the information they were receiving. They did not let them off the hook if they did not hear a clear answer to an important area. They helped Tariq and Tahira stay awake. They helped them to not get lulled by the fact that they really started to like each other. They helped them stay focused to get the answers they needed to know, not just if they had chemistry, but they would be compatible as life partners. Tariq and Tahira gave the relationship time to develop so they could observe patterns and if they were healthy or toxic. They got a gauge on each other's real intentions for getting married. They felt the sincerity and mutual kindness. They noticed they got along well. They could discuss challenging questions in a calm way. They felt comfortable and not anxious around each other. They did not have to tiptoe or walk on eggshells about difficult topics. When they consulted their gut, it was at ease. They felt compassion and respect for each other. They got to know each other, and they liked each other. When Ramadan came around again, Tariq and Tahira were reflecting on where they were last Ramadan when they first met, and they were grateful to Allah. They made an appointment with the premarital counselor for some final help. They each called their attorney through their legal plan to discuss the legal implications of marriage in their life and discuss the process for getting a prenup. They scheduled an appointment with the imam at Tahira's mosque, and Tariq is ready to offer a mahar and buy a ring. Throughout Tahira and Tariq's story, we see their use of the key before the nikah principles. In summary, we have listed the 13 principles to refer to in the process of your matrimonial search. Remember to engage in these principles as you look for your lifelong partner. Sounds like a fairy tale.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
it does, but, alhamdulillah, You know, if you have a plan and you've got the training and the education and you have a process and you follow it, it maybe it can be. You know, so inshallah.
Okay, so those principles are, one, have a proactive prevention and oriented mindset. Two, participate in premarital education for singles. Three, ensure informed consent. I'm going to read that again. Ensure informed consent. How does that hit you, Sister Manira? Ensure informed consent.
Yeah, that was one of the chapters on informed consent, where you have the information that was talking about you having the correct information that you need, that you're getting married of your own free will, and you've taken the necessary steps to prepare yourself for marriage. You're not being forced into marriage. You're consenting to this process on your own.
Right. Okay.
Those are some
of
the things we talked about. Yeah. That she talked about in the book.
Right. Uh-huh. I just turned back to chapter 3 and it said informed consent. And it says people don't always tell the truth. Okay, got it.
People don't always tell the truth. Yeah.
Right. So number 4, use the vetting process and conduct a background check. Number 5, engage in a personal self-assessment to get to know yourself and be honest with yourself. 6, learn and understand what the Quran and the married life of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, show you about marriage. 7, learn and use good communication skills. 8, know your expectations and convey what you expect. 9, take the time to truly get to know each other to determine if you are compatible. 10, use your marriage support team in the premarital phase to assist you with the vetting process. 11, have zero tolerance for violence. 12, address money matters before the nikah. And 13, address the legal aspects of marriage before the nikah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So all very, very important steps to take prior to the nikah. And what struck me about this story, it does sound like a fairy tale, but what struck me about it is that they had both taken the course. So they had both invested in marriage education. They thought that it was very important and important enough for them to take the whole course before even getting started in the process. So that was a very good foundation for them to build on and to help them get ready for the process when they got started. You know, so we're going to pick back up on these points. We're at the top of the hour, and we're going to get our PSAs in for the top of the hour. And we do have a caller in the queue. We're going to ask you to please be patient, and we'll get to you as soon as we get back from our public service announcements. You're listening to us all about courtship and marriage, and we'll be right back with you, public service announcements, right here on American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. Please stick and stay with us. We'll be right back with you.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waridduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Waridduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360. Where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, and we are back. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. I'm your host, Sister Manira Habil Uma, and we have our co-host, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia, with us, and who has been with us as we have presented from the book Before the Nikah, Dr. P. Anisa Nadir. And the caller that we had in the queue is no longer in the queue, so we'll address them or get their mic open as soon as they return, inshallah. But Bina, you said something that it sounds like a fairy tale, and that's true. It does sound like a fairy tale, but it's. I was thinking, most people that I know are not this patient with this process. Are not just patient with this process and don't take that amount of time or technical work when it comes to marriage. You know, it's a, you know, yeah, I, this, you know, this is the mahar. You know, come live with me. I got a house. You know, it can be very basic sometimes. It can be very basic. Some people take more time, maybe because they have gotten burned in the past by rushing. And then some people get into the process and realize there's so much to cover, and it forces them to slow down. Okay, but the thing is to have a process, to have a process, to have a system that you're following through the process, and to have help with you in the process to make it easier. And these two people in this example seem like they knew themselves very well, seemed like they were very comfortable with themselves and had made the preparations needed to do this the right way, to invest in this educational process the right way so that they can have a successful marriage, so that they can choose wisely and build a strong life and a strong marriage. And this is where, this is definitely where we want to be, and we want our young people to be, to have that amount of confidence and knowledge and skill sets and communication, knowledge of how to handle communication and what to look for in another person. We want our young people to be at that level when starting to embark on this process so that they can avoid the pitfalls. So we have a caller in the queue. We're going to go to our caller at 267-879. Assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam. Whenever I'm blessed. Glad to be on the call. I'm calling from Imani. Yes.
Yes, Sister Imani. Good to hear your voice.
Yes, ma'am. Yours, well, Raheem is going to probably be calling in after me. But
okay.
What you all talk about is so true. It needs to be the culture that's fostered so that they know that when it's something that they see already in, like, in training, like, they know that this is, when my turn comes, this is what's going to be part of my rearing and things like that. They have other young people that have already been through it to help bring them through it. So, like I said, mm-hmm. to me, it just needs to be a culture that's fostered. So it won't, what's expected of me, in a sense. Or that's what's going on in the community. Because I see a lot of young people coming, and they want to get married, and they ask what's going on. It's nothing. I don't see anything locally here, consistently in Philadelphia, of this nature. I'm not saying that it is, it isn't, but I don't know of anything. And when people ask me, I don't really have anywhere to direct them to.
Mm-hmm.
So, uh-huh. But something like that would be like part of, you know, the culture that's forced. Like I imagine a lot. Almost everybody went on Hajj because that was the culture that was forced to go on Hajj. You knew that eventually you would be going on Hajj because that's the culture. So that has to be a culture. You know, I keep kind of not, uh-huh. not to be redundant, but.
Yeah.
It's like that's part of the process. You think you come in, maybe the community, you take your shahada, and they tell you stuff like this. Okay, mm-hmm. prepare for Hajj, prepare to get married, things like that, you know, already
mm-hmm.
in place for them. So, because I'm married, but I got some other people when I can get on this call and things like that. And so we need that in our community. And like I said, I heard sister Shakira, she was saying in Atlanta there, in the schools, they have some kind of program, brother to brother, sister to sister, whatever. And she had a young couple on last week that they got married 18 and 19, but that was all part of the culture that was forced while they were there. So if nothing
uh-huh.
in place already, it's going to be hard.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And this is what we want to push to happen, a curriculum that can streamline the process, start preparing our young people for marriage and successful relationships with each other, you know, just on the other side of puberty, start talking about how we relate to each other in relationships and you know, what to expect and how relationships help us develop. And this is a whole educational process that needs to begin to take place and build on. So when it's time, the process is made easier because the knowledge is greater, the skill sets are greater, the insight is greater,
mm-hmm.
and the preparation is in place for, so this helps it to become a smooth process. This makes it easier instead of panicking at the last minute. Oh, I really like this person. What do I do? You know, I really like this person. You know, am I good enough? Am I ready? And all these questions that come up in this process, and we're just not emotionally ready to handle it sometimes. So, yeah, there needs to be an educational process, and it needs to be streamlined and uniform. And the fact that these two people went through the same training, you know, they knew what to expect from each other because of that, because of what took place in the training. So that creates a culture, a womb on its own. You know, we can read the Holy Quran together, and we know what's in our holy book, you know, as we study it. So when something foreign is introduced, we know that that's foreign. Okay, that's not a Quranic principle. Same process in preparing for marriage and creating a learning environment to prepare for it. Okay, we know what we have been taught, and we're actually creating a culture and creating a process that's beneficial and that's uniform for everybody, inshallah. You know, so that is the goal. So I think we just have to get it together, and Allah will provide us with an opportunity to share it and bring it into fruition so that it can be something that can be adopted and learned. And everything doesn't have to be done by the imam at the masjid. They can't do everything. But in married couples who want to take on a project like this at a masjid or Islamic center, everybody is free to do that. We can really help the next generation to be in a better position to marry well, inshallah. Okay. Did you have any follow-ups, sister? You're on mute if you're talking. We can't hear you.
No, I was just listening and taking notes of my, like you said, personal culture. So it can,
yeah.
Can you hear me? So it can
yes,
be adopted.
I can hear you.
And even being married, I'm trying to encourage unmarried sisters that in my circle to do things. Like I said, you have to participate in your own rescue. You know, that's what I'm trying to get them to do things, and I'm trying. Mm-hmm. But I don't want them necessarily to be in the forefront. I want, you know, they have a bit more better interest than I do. And like you said, it don't have to be something that the imam do or things like that. They're busy, so people from the community can do that. So
yeah, and a good starting point is to get this book. This is one of the more detailed books that I have found when it's talking about a process and a course. To start with getting this book and go through this book with a group of unmarried believers, and even try to invite the sister to Philly to do a marriage course. There's no sense to reinvent the wheel. That can be a base point to start in the community, and that way you can get started with this right away, inshallah, with Allah's help.
Yes, I did take down got the book, but I didn't get the person's name. You said invite. You mean invite the author?
Yeah, it's Dr. P. Anissa. Yeah, Dr. P. Anissa Nadir.
I looked on Amazon and got it. Yeah, I got it on.
You got it? Okay,
Amazon.
Great. Yeah.
And that's what I just said. That book can be something that you can work from that book. So I just text the people and tell them that. And I try to post it on Facebook each week, you know, because there's a whole community, you know, that probably don't even know about this show. You know, so that's why I you know, try to share with them that don't know. So I try to post it each week and things like that.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Well, we thank you so much, and thank you so much for your input and your insight. And if we don't hear from our sister, please extend the greetings to her from us.
No vacation.
Oh, Alhamdulillah.
All right.
Much needed vacation. All right. Assalamu alaikum.
All right. Walaikum assalam.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Yes. So this is an excellent starting point for the community to adopt a book like this. And there are other books and other information that can be incorporated as well to address problems and concerns so that we can get started on this journey to streamline this process and to be ready for marriage and to be in a position to choose wisely, you know, especially the vetting point. I mean, we really have to care enough about each other to move that branch off the road so a person won't trip and fall, to look out for the other person's well-being to help them avoid making a wrong choice, or just to give the information to a person to facilitate a clear choice. Many times there is a lot of rubber stamping going on, or this is a good sister, this is a good brother, you know. But at the same time, this is a critical process, and it deserves us to be, to tie our camels and to vet the person well. Vet the person well. I mean, if you apply for a job and your job is an airline pilot, nobody gonna hire you and say, "Oh, yeah, I'm an airline pilot. You know, I have 4 years experience." You know, they want to know how many hours training you had, where did you get your training, what grade you made in your training, where did you get your flight hours, you know. How were your flight hours scored? Who can verify it? Have you had any close calls? They're going to want to know so much information about you and your experience, okay? It's nothing taken for granted. Nothing is taken for granted because there are lives at stake. There is safety at stake, okay? But we have to think that way when we are vetting people to marry sons and daughters, cousins, loved ones, people that we love and admire, because we want the best for them. We want to keep harm away from the next believer. We have to adopt that process of thinking when it comes to looking out for each other in the community life. You know, it's very, very important. And if we do this long enough, we can end up with a much better community life that has been protected and uplifted and secured, you know. And this is the community life that we want to have, not an anything-goes community life where one mistake is passed on to the next person over and over again. You know, so it's, I mean, we all have to do our part and to improve, myself included, you know. And once I got married last year, actually, after not being married for a while, I saw a lot of areas where I needed to improve. Because when you're married, you have a constant mirror up, where you're looking in the mirror and your image is bouncing back to you, and you're getting this constant feedback on who you are and what you're doing and how you're engaging with the other person. And you see some tweaks that you have to take care of, some things that you have to work on, you know. And that's what the married life is all about, and sharing a life with someone. Someone will help you become a better human being and help you elevate you, inshallah, and keep that elevation going throughout the whole process of marriage, so that, inshallah, when we return to Allah, we return to Allah with the best versions of ourselves, and we turn to Allah pleased with our circumstances, and we pray that Allah is pleased with us. You know, so this is what this whole process is about. So unless we are regardful and look out for each other and seek to elevate each other and protect each other, this will not happen. Okay? So did anyone have any comments or questions to make regarding anything that we have discussed this evening? And if anyone does establish prayers or course, not just a talim here or there, but a whole marriage course, in the masjid to begin to prepare for marriage. You know, please let us know. We would love to hear what has been adopted in different communities and different community lives and the participation for it. It would be very good information to share with the community. So we're at the bottom of the second hour, so I'm going to take a pause for the calls. And if you have any comments or questions that you'd like to make when we return, please feel free to press 1 and come into the queue, and we would love to hear your thoughts. Okay? So please stick and stay with us. We'll be right back with you after these public service announcements. You're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage on American Muslim 360.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith Program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of El-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dafrita Hadi, director of the CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory and host of Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360 Islamic Radio Station, asking you to join me Saturday evening, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, to share stimulating Islamic information and insight as we unite our spiritual and intellectual perceptions and cultivate our human existence together. Inshallah, I will hear you at the lab. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Okay, and we are back. And if you're just joining us, you've missed quite a bit of the show. We're going to encourage you to go into the archives and listen to the show in its entirety. And we have been talking and presenting from the book Before the Nikah by Dr. Anisa Nadir. And our co-host is Sister Bina Muhammad Bia. And we've learned a lot as we've gone through this book. I know that I have. And what the sister is doing is trying to develop a family and community healthy marriage movement, a healthy marriage movement. So she has outlined and developed a whole course revolving around healthy marriages and the knowledge and information that it takes for this to take place. So last week, I know I talked a lot about us as African Americans and how our numbers are decreasing as direct descendants of the slave experience as African Americans through our trauma and breakdown of families and how it's affecting us and our population growth. And do we owe a debt to those who came before us to keep this going? Or, you know, is it something that we should concern ourselves with? Is it something that we should try to control or manage? You know, I don't know. It's something that I'm processing and trying to come to terms with. But one statistic that I did find in my journey and my exploration of that topic is that as African Americans, the best time, and as far as age goes, where our numbers are more in line with each other, so that a healthy balance is there for choosing a mate, is at age 16. At age 16, the levels of males to females in our African American community are as close as they will ever be. As close as they will ever be. After that, the numbers begin to decline. And we can look and see why those numbers decline. We have prison, we have murders, we have death, we have destruction, where our young men get to a certain age and these pitfalls are there for them. So knowledge of relationships and families and the stability that family life brings and the purpose that is in the family life, these are all saving forces or saving graces for us when it comes to remaining established and becoming responsible human beings. So this is why this education can't just stay in the masjid. It has to be in the broader community so that these connections can be made with family life and healthy choices and healthy parenting. All of this information has to be given to our community life, to those in our community, so that we can reverse these trends, inshallah. We don't, I just feel some type of way about us becoming maybe a thing of the past or the people that were, you know, but Allah is in control and purposes. Allah knows them. We don't, but we do our best, and we fight for what's best and encourage what's best, and inshallah, we can make an impact. We have a caller in the queue. We're going to go to our caller at 727-408. Assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. I'm glad to hear y'all still dealing with the book. Alhamdulillah. Now I was sitting down listening, but I have to be getting off because I was on several times, but I have to get off. And then I say it was. Now think about that. I was listening to the story, right? And then when we got to the part about the cat, right? I say I was trying to figure out what's the real or just the story, right? And then I said, I said, okay, we had a cat going to have something to do with this. But I'm talking about being serious. So it was kind of like, nah, it's kind of like something I'm missing. Okay. And I want to say, yeah, that sounds good with the book. It seems like it shouldn't be like that, not that much like that, right? And so, but I say, well, I don't know, it seems bad. I say, it seems like maybe it could be. You say you're trying to find more. You seem like you're trying to find something. And,
yeah,
wow.
Like it can't be
yeah,
that easy.
Yeah. So here it is. I think when I came back home, but I might have missed your point. But look, this is what I think it is. I think you're saying that you're going to say it.
I can't hear you so clear, brother Bilal. Come up to
I'm
the
sorry.
Phone.
Okay. If we teach the community,
Okay. We're having some technical issues. You're going in and out.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's probably me, because this weather so bad in Florida. Okay, then let me see. Let me try something else. Let me get your phone. Okay, now how is that? That's better?
Okay, I can hear you. I can hear you now. Mm-hmm.
Oh, now I can hear you. So, okay, yeah, that's better. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. I can hear you.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. So if we can reteach or establish ourselves as a certain model, and we can go back to those old traditions, but have a better tradition for the generation that's here now. Or maybe that book might be what it might take. I think one thing I wanted to say, but y'all might have said it because I've been missing so much. The ability for us to be able to sacrifice our things that bothers about somebody, our ability to go it on itself there, I think that's a big key factor about us, about a strong marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. Well, I think I understand what you're saying. You know, we all have some type of trauma, unfortunately, because of our circumstances. So knowing that, you know, loving someone past that point, as long as there is some reciprocity and that is being given in return as well, you know, that can be a part of the healing process, and we can improve as long as there is no added trauma in the relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Feel like right now. We got married 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Okay. Now I got all kind of different. I got Parkinson's disease. I got cancer. Okay. Now this is now we got something that's not, or is it in the book to make that adjustment? So I might say, look, I got cancer. If I become too much of a burden on you, baby, then go ahead and just, you know, put me in a nursing home somewhere and go on home with your life. You know, invite the word, something like that. And
yeah.
This something like that. I met my man when he was saying something about intimacy, right? He said, let me tell you something. He said, one sex, get out of the marriage. He said, then you're going to find yourself a real good marriage. You take that element out of it. Probably because of the big emphasis you put on in society. So just something I'm looking at.
people stick with each other through these types of situations all the time. And someone's fighting cancer or a serious illness, we're going to all have some type of illness. I don't know if we're going to escape life without it or some type of, serious circumstance or a huge test, you know. So if you've been married that long, you shouldn't be bolting and running from it, you know.
I'm sorry. You know the thing here? That's pre-marriage. That's not married. That's pre-married. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, man. But still, got to be there, though. That's massive. I'm saying that's only natural, that it wasn't in the book. Okay, how did
you? Oh, okay. Alhamdulillah. Okay, well, we won't find everything. Wa alaikum assalam. All right. Thank you for calling in. Alhamdulillah. this book is a base point. We're not going to find everything in the book, but this book is pre-marriage for sure. You know, so once you've married and been with someone and you've built a relationship, inshallah, it won't be a relationship where there is no commitment and people will run when the tough times appear, inshallah. Okay? So the other point that I found in comparison to the I'll just call it that rate of equality as far as ages go is different for Caucasian Americans, okay? Their levels remain near the same until age 32, and then you begin to see a demise in the male population as well. There's a difference. So I did find that there were, because of that, there are also a lot of interracial marriages with Caucasians marrying Latinos and marrying those outside of their race as well, because there is some incompatibility in numbers when it comes to Caucasian men as well. And that can be for different reasons, fighting wars, drug addiction, all kinds of different things that cause those numbers to suicide, cause those numbers to diminish as far as the Caucasian race goes. So the younger we can address the issue and create circumstances where our children can marry younger after they've been taught and prepared for the process and willing to accept that responsibility and work towards excellence, the better for us, because the pitfalls are real and they are out there. So marriage preparation, relationship preparation is all, it has to be a part of our new reality and something that has to be provided, inshallah. Okay, so Vina, do you have any comments that you'd like to share as we begin to wrap up the presentation on this book?
Yes, thank you. So I was listening to Imam Fahim Shuaib, and he's had a series going on, I guess, for the last year, talking about what it takes to build Ummah, and that's our obligation as Muslims. So within that realm, it deals with all those aspects. It deals with family, it deals with self, it deals with intellect, it deals with the religion or culture, and it deals with property. You're getting, you know, our share of this material world. So there's so many branches. Well, those are those five essential items that he says it takes to build Ummah, and he backs it up with the different surah and ayah in the Quran, and it's a very good topic to listen to, and it can give you practical ideas in terms of what we should be doing to build our ummah. So when I think about the education portion of it, I know so much of it has to come in the home. Some of them going to get in the school, yes, and that can be done with the curriculum, but to build, to get our children prepared for the life that Allah has prepared, for the good life that Allah has prepared for us, we're going to have to do that in our homes, meaning we as Muslims, all of us are going to have to take on that responsibility to know what is required of us and give that to our children, because you find less Muslim schools than you find or people having their children, Muslims having their children in public schools, you find more of that than you find them being in the Muslim schools. So that education has to start at home with mom giving that to the children, mom and dad, if possible, so they can be prepared when they get to be 15 and 16 years old, being prepared to be married. I mean, that's going to have to start at a young age. And I really like what you emphasized about presenting it at different stages and different levels so that, you know, at maturity, at different times in people's lives and their maturity, they can understand the importance of it. So if they get it when they're very young, they just hear it and they continue to hear this in their lives, it'll become a part of them. And it'll be a part, become a part of that fabric that we need to grow this community. And that I was just shaking my head and just when you were talking about it, because that's true. They need to get it in the preschool. They needed to get it in the elementary. They need to go get it in junior high. They need to get it in high school. But they need to be getting it at home as well and as an example in their lives.
Yeah.
So that would really solidify that what marriage is about.
If you don't feel that this is something that you can teach, Bena, do you remember when we started that little weekend school for our families, and we were at the community center, bringing our families there, and you were teaching, I was teaching. We all brought what we knew, areas that we could handle, and we helped with each other's children, and we made a contribution to each other's children. Can be done as well, because sometimes just being in the home, you're at home, and things just aren't going to be as serious as they would be if you come outside the home to a whether it's to the masjid or community center and invite other children and have programs like this where you can talk about relationships and what it takes to be successful. And people can develop their vision boards. What type of marriage do you want? What type of family do you want for yourself? You know, and 'cause a lot of times, children will respond better to someone else than they will their mother and father in these matters, and answer in a more serious way. Unfortunately, you know, we face those things here in America for some reason when it comes to dealing with our children. And so we can do whatever we need to do. We have so many options to get this done. And it does start with families, just like you said, but it doesn't just have to be one family doing it. It can be multiple families coming together just dealing with this topic of relationships. And 'cause every family might not have a father, but if one of the husbands from one of the families did come together and deal with the boys and do this teaching and share, it makes a big difference in the availability and the balance that can be brought to a family's life. You know, so it can take a village, and it someone can just have a, I know at one point we were even in Sister Tahita's house having classes, and she had her garage fixed up, and we had chairs and everything out there, and had a little school. Those were Arabic classes. So we do what we have to do to help our children and get them ready for this process. And it's an investment that will pay off, inshallah. Does anyone else have any final thoughts on this segment? Did you find it beneficial to go through this book? Did it help in any way to bring more practical information to the marriage process? 727-408, I'm coming back to you. I see your hand is raised. Press 1 real quick if you want to go out of the queue. All right, but I'm coming back to your line. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome back to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam. Let me share something I had wrote. Allah is the merciful benefactor and the merciful redeemer. Our sincerity protects us from shaitan and the schemers. Education is number one. Public school, a lot of misinformation and non-productive activities and fun. Government, most politicians need to get serious and make amends. A culture of debt, not a lot of common sense left. Consumerism and economic prison. Seek Allah's help and let's build out our own schools. Strive to totally trust Allah, strive the children to live the way they were created to do. Let's make citizenship and ownership part of our worship. We don't want our children to trip. Business with strong family and community life. It's uphill, terrible, and struggle and fight. So let's continue to live life. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you so much. Okay. And I have 267-879. I still have you in the queue. Coming back to your phone, please press 1 to go out of the queue if you want to pass. But we're coming back to 267-879. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Did you have any additional comments you'd like to share? Two, six, seven, eight, seven, nine. Okay, you're on mute. Okay, I think her hand was still raised from a previous call-in, so we'll close her mic. Okay, so one thing that I take away from this book is that our charting our future course is going to require action. It's going to require action on our part, whether we do it as a family, a single family, or multiple families coming together, or in the community. It's going to require action to create the kind of preparation we need for success when it comes to relationships, family life, when it comes to business, when it comes to higher education. That there needs to be a reaching out, a level of engagement that affects the whole community life in some way to help with these processes of preparation so that we can succeed in these areas of our life that are vital and fundamental to our success, especially knowing who we are and our relationship with our Lord and Creator, and what our expectations are, and what is expected of us as far as the community life goes, our place in the building of Ummah and establishing the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Since Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is the final prophet, that makes this the final Ummah that is established under the final prophet, which is Prophet Muhammad. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. You know, so we have a responsibility, and we all have to do our part. Okay, so we hope that this presentation has provided some food for thought and given us some ideas on just what it takes to be prepared for marriage, and that we don't rush it. We don't try to do it alone. We have a marriage success team with us. We seek the advice of those around us. We listen to counsel, have good counsel. We refer to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah's messenger. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him as the model that Allah has given us for success. in these critical areas of life. And it's no incident. It's no small thing. It's no small incident that our prophet was a businessman. Allah has given us a weighty message when it comes to our Prophet Muhammad being a businessman that provided good business morals, good business conduct, Islamic business conduct, to build a community on, to build a community life on, fair trade, okay, no usury, okay, sadaqa, zakat, all these principles to build a community life and to build business on are modeled in our Prophet. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Family life, okay, everything that we need to be successful. So, inshallah, you know, we will get started on this journey, and I will keep you updated on what can be developed and how it can be presented in a way where we can begin to tie this all together and create a national process so that we can help streamline and get everybody on the same page and create a cultural environment to make this all easier for us. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and begin to wrap up our program. So I would like for you all to make sure that you tune in tomorrow morning, if possible, to this show that is on every Wednesday morning, and that is none other than The Female Solution.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. So we'll be back here with you next week, inshallah, as we explore more topics to help get us in a better position to be successful in our family life. Okay, so you've been listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage right here on American Muslim 360. We thank our sister Bina Muhammad Bia for being here with us. And being our co-host, and I'll talk to her and see if this is something that can continue, if she has time
for
that.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. Yes, ma'am, I will be right here with you, like I have been here listening on this end for quite a while. So I thank you for the invitation, and may Allah bless your efforts, bless our efforts. And I pray that if I said anything or we said anything that's been helpful, it's from Allah, and that if we have said anything that is not correct, that Allah forgive us and will bless us with the information, because it's definitely, you could definitely blame it on our intellect and not on our hearts.
Alhamdulillah. I mean, thank you so much. And so we're going to let Brother Wali Ali take us out, and we'll be right back after this song.
Oh. Fearing thee, yeah. is what made him brave enough to go out and face the world. A country man came up from the dead, made his home on the sweet earth down here, loved him deep, made him love enough to go out and face the world. Fearing, firmly, neighborly, making a life believe,
loving,
a creature of fear, performing dry tears.
Fearing,
loving thee, made him love enough to go out and face the world.
Go out and face the world.
Sweet talk deceived him. Her brought him to thee. Never count him out. Faith went over down. Poor lost sinners, poor squires are winning. Fearing thee, so I made him brave enough to go.
Loving
thee, loving thee, made him brave enough to go.
Fearing thee,
fearing thee, was what made him brave enough to go out and face the world.
Brave enough to
a country man dear came up from the rear,
loving,
made his home on the sweet earth down here,
fearing,
never caught him up, they went over down, firmly, maybe making it like
all enough to
making a life for thee. Oh, 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 yeah.
Love enough to face the world.
Country man dear came up from the rear,
loving,
made his home on the sweet earth down here. What made him love enough to go out and face the world?
Alhamdulillah, we fear Allah in all things, and in all things we fear displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So thank you for being here with us this evening. Come back next Tuesday, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we explore topics that we didn't know, that we should know, and that we need to learn in order to have successful, healthy, lasting marriages. So we'll see you here next week, and bring a friend, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. May Allah bless us all with a peaceful and productive week. Assalamu alaikum.